Every few years, New Yorkers have the opportunity to shape the future of their city through local elections. While presidential races often dominate the headlines, it's the local offices, like the mayor, that have a really profound impact on daily life, influencing everything from housing affordability and public safety to education and public transportation. Yet despite the significance of these roles, voter turnout in local elections remains alarmingly low. In the 2023 primary elections, only 7% of registered New York City voters cast a ballot. That means a small group of people is effectively deciding the direction of the city for everyone else. In this episode, we're joined by Sally Goldenberg, senior New York editor at Politico, to break down why local elections matter, why voter turnout is so low, and what changes we could see depending on the outcome of the upcoming mayoral race. Sally, thanks for being here. Let's get real about local elections.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we often talk about national politics, but the decisions that hit closest to home usually happen right here in our neighborhoods. This June is the Democratic primary for mayor. You've covered the inner workings of City Hall for a long time now. Can you walk us through how local decisions, especially ones made by the mayor, actually show up in everyday life for New Yorkers?
Sure. So the mayor of New York City runs a large budget. I think it's somewhere around $115 billion. So that's the budget for public parks, for public schools, for the New York Police Department, firefighters, EMTs, garbage collection, you know, you name it. Any like public service is funded through the city, and that budget is controlled by the mayor. So that's probably the largest, you know, task or responsibility a mayor has. He or she, it's always a he so far, has been in charge of a large workforce of more than 300,000 workers, and makes a lot of, which I think is relevant to the real estate board, makes a lot of land use decisions, decides whether, you know, to pursue rezonings to allow for more development, how to fund and whether to fund public housing and housing growth, economic development projects. The mayor has a ton of control over our daily lives. Much of what a mayor wants to do is decided kind of in a holistic way in Albany. So like the policies are often set in Albany, but then the enacting of the decisions are made in City Hall.
There's this idea that one vote doesn't really matter, especially in a huge city like New York that consistently votes blue. How would you explain the real power of a single vote in shaping the direction of the city?
I mean, Eric Adams won the primary last time over Catherine Garcia by fewer than 10,000 votes, fewer than 9,000, somewhere around 7,000 or 8,000. I don't know the exact number. That's very few votes. So it wasn't one vote, right? But you know, it was a very, very small sliver of votes that determined Eric Adams over Catherine Garcia. Yeah, it's just sort of misguided for voters to think their votes don't matter. The decisions that local politicians make determine, you know, if somebody sends their kids to public school, those decisions about, you know, how that school is funded and teacher tenure and school testing. As I said, a lot of this gets mixed in with Albany because the city is a creature of Albany, the state capital, obviously. But, you know, that's one example. How many police officers are on the force, what policies they're allowed to pursue. We're sort of in the process of expanding, perhaps making universal, although I'm not sure, composting, you know, recycling of food waste. That's not, you know, the most major thing on earth, but it's an important thing for recycling efforts. And that's something that you see and do every day if you do it. And that's decided by the mayor and the Department of Sanitation, whether a building can, as I mentioned, rezonings, you know, whether a building across the street from you can be twice as big, where a homeless shelter goes, whether we have fewer firehouses. I mean, the list goes on. It's very important. The mayor is not by any means like a figurehead. So voters are missing an opportunity to really shape their own futures and the futures of their families if they don't vote.
For those who maybe don't pay close attention to primaries, why should New Yorkers care about this one? Now, how much of the city's direction gets decided now versus in the general election later this year?
I mean, I would argue they should care about every election, but this is a unique primary. Most of the time in city history, incumbent mayors win second terms. Eric Adams is by no means guaranteed to win a second term. He's not right. He's a registered Democrat who's skipping the Democratic primary because he recognizes that his polling numbers are so low that he was very unlikely to win the primary and therefore would have been blocked from going on to the general election. So this is an opportunity for New Yorkers to decide whether they want to keep their current mayor, give him another shot, forgive what they don't like about him, or pick someone else. And this primary kind of decides who the someone else is who goes up against him. There will be a Republican candidate, Curtis Sliwa, and an independent candidate, Jim Walden. And then the mayor will also run as an independent. But the Democratic candidate stands a large chance of winning because the enrollment advantage goes to Democrats in New York City. So it's, you know, it's typically like when Bill de Blasio ran for his second term in 2017, he had nominal challenges, but, you know, he sort of coasted to reelection, even though he wasn't particularly popular. That's just not the case this year. So it's almost as though there's an open mayoral seat, even though there's not.
You've been following how candidates are framing their platforms. Let's talk through some of the key issues, starting with housing. What kind of proposals are you hearing?
I think everybody, I don't want to say everybody because there are so many candidates, I might be overlooking one. Most of them acknowledge that the city is in a housing shortage, in a rental housing shortage in particular. The housing vacancy survey shows a vacancy rate of, I think, about 1.5%, which is very low. And that is driving up costs. Most people acknowledge that that is driving up costs. And so most of the candidates, you know, want more housing. And how they get there, you know, some want to just like have a market rate plan or, you know, favor a little bit more of market rate development. Some want more city involvement in financing affordable housing, but they're all talking about building a significant amount more housing.
Are you seeing any major differences between the candidates?
You know, not really. I don't have them memorized. I'm sure there are distinctions, but they all want more housing. I think they differ on rent freezes, which is more of an affordability issue than that doesn't, you know, change the stock of housing. But they do differ on whether the city should automatically grant rent freezes or go through the process that it goes through with the rent control, rent guidelines board. But in terms of housing itself, no, I mean, I think some of them are more in favor of private intervention than others, but they all support, you know, they all largely support more housing.
And when it comes to public safety and quality of life, how are candidates trying to differentiate themselves?
They're kind of similar on that too. I mean, they all either want, again, not all, most of them want either more police officers or if they don't want to grow the force, they want to fill the vacancies within the force. I don't think anyone has talked about getting rid of the current police commissioner, Jessica Tisch, who's Adams' fourth. Some have said they would keep her. The city comptroller, Brad Lander, has said he would keep her. Others have just, you know, kind of not really answered that question, but nobody's talked about getting rid of her. They generally talk about subway safety. Brad Lander has focused, I wouldn't even say they disagree, they just focus on different things. Brad Lander is focused on, you know, the mental health, the situation in the subways of people who have, you know, deteriorating mental health, getting more social service workers out. Andrew Cuomo, the front runner, says, I think he wants 5,000 more cops, I believe is the number. Scott Stringer just had an ad out last week that said he'll put a cop on every train. So they all kind of acknowledge, generally speaking, the need, their in their estimation, the need for a more robust public safety network. I think Adrienne Adams, the city council speaker, rolled out her public safety plan this week. And she also focused on like retention within the police department, hiring and retention.
You've covered a lot of mayoral races. What feels different about this one, if anything?
Well, as I said, that the incumbent is not a guaranteed or anywhere near guaranteed. It also feels like New Yorkers are just so caught up in national politics. It doesn't even feel like folks are paying attention. The candidates don't do as much campaigning. The race is like completely centered around Cuomo because he's the front runner and he's a universal name. And the only other candidate who's really risen in the public sort of eye is Zoran Mamdani, the assembly member from Queens, who's a Democratic Socialist, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. He's really risen. He's sort of in a solid number two position and has maxed out on fundraising and is just, you know, has really like kind of made a name for himself. And everyone else is kind of like struggling to just get any attention. And the press is always smaller than it was you know, in past, unfortunately, the press is kind of forever shrinking, local press, that is. But, you know, the press is covering the race. I just think people aren't as tuned in. So you don't have, like, last time there were just constant events to go to and to decide what to cover. And this time, like, there are days where there's very little going on the trail.
So how do we get more people engaged with local politics?
It's a really good question. I you know, I wish I had an answer because I cover local politics. So I really care a lot about people following local news. And I don't know, it's hard. Everybody is consumed with everything about Donald Trump. And so I don't really know. But I've thought about, and like I do like kind of think about like what's the right way? Is it through social media, getting young people activated through TikTok, you know? But there should be some sort of, like, I was talking to a consultant the other day who was saying there needs to be some kind of, who's working on a mayoral campaign, and said there needs to be some kind of like a civic, like the way there used to be political clubs, like a new kind of fresh version of that, because they're kind of going by the wayside. And like the county political machines are kind of a dying breed. Not that they were necessarily great or not great, but like, you know, there's just not, there's not really like a cohesive thing unifying people who are politically, civically involved in New York City.
Yeah, I mean, social media has definitely played a big role in Mamdani's rise in the polls.
Yeah, he's good. You know, he's got really like catchy videos. He's young too. I mean, relatively. I think he's 32 or 33, so he's relatively young, younger than the other candidates. So he's sort of more natural. And so he's on TikTok and Instagram and on X and, you know, just kind of like he cuts these like very catchy videos, as I said, and like that they play well to people, and his base is very online. And he's like a movement politician. He excites a base. You know, the rest of them are trying to say, you know, I'll run the city well, I'll be, you know, and they're all trying some version of like, I'll be a competent, sane manager after chaos within City Hall, whatever, you know, whether you like Adams or not, it's obviously been chaotic. And they're all saying that. And Cuomo's just the one that everyone knows and seems, judging by polling, to trust the most. And Mamdani's running like a movement campaign saying like, we have to go after billionaires. They make too much money. They're not, you know, like he's doing kind of an AOC Bernie Sanders style campaign. So there's always an audience for that.
What are the issues that voters seem to care about the most this year?
I think housing cost comes up in polling as a top issue, more so than public safety at the moment, because crime is trending, you know, depends on how you kind of cut the cake, but crime is trending downward. I was looking at a private poll recently, and I think housing affordability by like more than 20 points was the top issue. I think Democratic primary voters want a mayor who will fight Trump. That's why you're seeing a lot of ads that, you know, show candidates saying they will fight Trump. And just a general sense of like sanity management, you know, that seems to be important to people. I think public safety is always important. And the situation on the subways, which is not quite a safety issue, although it might get lumped in people's minds as a safety issue. But it's really, you know, like it's partly a homeless issue, it's partly a mental health issue, it's partly an infrastructure degrading issue. And it kind of all gets melded together in this stew that I think people check off public safety on a form. But I think they, when they're thinking about subways, it really breaks down into a number of different issues.
What might this primary tell us about where the city is headed, politically, economically, socially?
Well, I think if Andrew Cuomo wins, at the moment he's winning all the polls, but things can change. So I don't know whether he'll win, obviously. I don't have an answer to that. But if he wins, as the polling predicts, it, you know, I think it's a sense that people want executive managerial experience and a known name. There's not really an appetite for an ideological campaign. Now, again, Mamdani is in second place. So there's, I shouldn't say there's no appetite, but that's not the prevailing point of view. He's, because he's trailing Cuomo by about 20 points, depending on the poll. So I think there is always going to be an appetite for somebody who's really talking about like the structural issues of income inequality. But in 2013, when Bill de Blasio ran on that campaign, he won. And this time around, it seems like that's popular, but not as important to people as having a steady hand at the wheel.
For New Yorkers who want to make a smart, informed choice this month, what are the best ways to understand who's running, what they stand for, and also just how to cast their vote?
So people have to register with a party to vote in a partisan primary, and it's too late to switch now. It's not too late to, I don't believe it's too late to register, but the deadline to become registered with a party that you weren't previously registered with has passed. The primary is June 24th. Early voting starts before that. I don't know which day it starts. The Board of Elections usually sends out, you know, they mail out information on your local polling station, but folks can just go to the New York City Board of Elections website and you can put your address in and that will tell you your polling site on the day of and also during early voting, because that's usually a different polling site. In terms of being informed, I mean, I'm going to plug my own outlet, Politico. New York does a ton of coverage on the race, and it leads our daily playbook almost every day. We have policy reporters who write about their policies for, you know, a more specified audience. Then we have political reporters who kind of write writ large about the race. So we're a resource. The publication, The City, again, if you could link the website, they have, I believe, a like meet your candidate. They have a quiz where you can see which candidate you're most aligned to, because they had all the candidates fill out a questionnaire. So you can take it and it'll tell you like you're 65% with this one and 56% with that one. So that could be useful. NBC, New York One, the New York Times covers the race in their metro section, the Post and the Daily News. So I think just like staying in tune with local media.
That's great. And I've linked a lot of those resources in the show notes below. So you're also moderating the first Democratic mayoral primary debate. It's actually happening tomorrow on June 4th. I'll link information about how to tune into that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're moderating one of the debates where, you know, there'll be a lot of people on stage because the campaign finance board sort of wants to encourage participation. So many people, I believe, will qualify for it. And it's, you know, we plan to ask, you know, substantive questions. And it's also kind of up to the candidates to sort of make their case and try to distinguish themselves from one another. Because, it is a Democratic primary where, like, they all kind of, with the exception of mostly Mamdani is, like, you know, sort of has set himself apart ideologically. But there are candidates who at once were, like, more left-wing and are kind of now, like, reading the room and saying, like, okay, voters are looking for a more moderate person. And this pendulum swings, but it's swung this way right now. And so they will all kind of sound similar on, you know, on a number of policy issues. But it's a good opportunity for them to try to distinguish themselves from one another over leadership style, over character, over, approach to Trump. So yeah, I think the debate, and it's for these candidates who are kind of pretty like nowhere in the race, it's really an opportunity for them. It's an equalizer. They're all on stage together, so they have a chance to like try to stand out.
Well, Sally, thanks so much for being here. Real Talk NYC is produced by the Real Estate Board of New York. This episode was edited and hosted by Grace Boak with help from Jason Ryan. Thanks for listening.